Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The General Assembly is considering a bill that would prohibit discrimination on the basis of gender identity in employment, housing, and public accommodations. It's sponsored in the House by Luke Clippinger, Democrat of Baltimore City, and in the Senate by Richard Mattolino, Democrat of Montgomery County. Here's Senator Mattolino speaking to the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee at its hearing on the bill earlier this month.
At its core, Senate Bill 212, and we've been here before to talk about this, is a civil rights measure for transgender Marylanders. It is having the opportunity to get a job or to keep the job that you have, you love, and is the source of your support. It is having the chance to get a place to live or keeping that place to live. It is about fair treatment in places like restaurants, bars, coffee shops, movie theaters, the things that we do in our lives in order to enjoy ourselves in our downtime.
The Judicial Proceedings Committee passed Senate Bill 212 last week on a vote of 8-3. It's been introduced in Annapolis each year since 2007, but earlier versions of the bill never got out of the Senate, usually not out of the Senate committee. Similar ordinances are in place in Baltimore City and Baltimore, Montgomery, and Howard counties. We reached out to Senator Mattolino, but he's in transit this morning. Joining me now to talk about the bill is Dana Beyer, Executive Director of Gender Rights Maryland. She joins us on the line from her home in Montgomery County. Good morning.
Good morning, Sheila.
What are the roads like where you are?
Oh, they're terrible. I was getting ready to get into my car this morning, and I looked out the window, and they hadn't even been plowed. I think this storm took many people by surprise. And the traffic was awful. So here we are on the phone. I apologize for
that. That's okay. I'm glad you're someplace safe and dry. To start this conversation, explain what gender identity is.
Okay. Well, gender identity can be thought of in two different forms because we're talking about the legislation. So there is a legal definition, but then there's also the practical definition. And the practical definition is everyone has a gender identity, and it's our sense of self as human beings as a male or a female. We all have this. It's not just transgender people who have a gender identity. Everybody has a gender identity. And this is a little Baltimore twist to it. There's a hook here because the existence of gender identity as a biological phenomenon was proven by Professor William Reiner of Johns Hopkins University about 10 years ago. He had a cohort of patients who were XY patients who had undescended testes, so they were producing testosterone in utero, but they had no genitals. It's a disease called cloacal extrophy. And as a result, having no genitals, having no genital floor, no pelvic floor, they were mostly raised as females. And yet they grew up with a sense of themselves as male. And that paper came out in the New England Journal of Medicine 10 years ago and proved to the world that gender identity as a function of one's brain sex, exists in every human being.
Okay, let's focus on Senate Bill 212. What would it do?
Well, Senate Bill 212 defines gender identity, or did define gender identity, as a gender-related identity, appearance, expression, or behavior of an individual regardless of the individual's assigned sex at birth. The problem here is transgender people are assigned to one sex at birth based on a visual inspection of their genitals, and when as they age, as they grow older, generally in childhood or in adolescence, they realize that they're really not the sex to which they've been assigned. This bill would protect people from discrimination in, as you mentioned before, Senator Mattolino mentioned, in employment, housing, and public accommodations based on their transition to the other gender. And it will no longer be legal within the entire state of Maryland to discriminate. You also pointed out very accurately that Baltimore City and three counties cover this already. 47% of the state is already covered. This will expand it to the entire state.
47%
and there are
17
other states,
population.
Plus Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia, that already have these protections.
So in your view, why is this necessary?
Because we now have disparate impact. Everybody in the state should be protected. And on a larger perspective, transgender people are American citizens and American residents, and we deserve to have full protection just like every other citizen.
One person who testified against the bill is Anita Schatz. She's a survivor of sexual assault, and she's concerned about the public accommodations portion of the bill, including restrooms. Let's listen.
This law will make it legal for anyone seeking the sexually assault another to invade what was once a safe environment for the most vulnerable women and children. Not just bathrooms, I'm talking about showers, locker rooms, dressing rooms, dorms, without question. There are sexual predators who will use the vague description of gender identity and sexual orientation to gain access to safe areas according to their sexual mood at the time.
How do you respond to that kind of concern?
Oh, well, we've been responding to this kind of concern in Maryland for the past decade. Problems like that have never occurred nowhere in the United States. So that's number one.
Let me interrupt. When you say problems like that, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, so let me ask. Do you mean there have not been documented assaults?
Yes, there are no documented assaults of transgender women using the women's bathroom as a place to commit mayhem.
Okay,
there
are
laws on the books that prevent any kind of behavior like that. Those are criminal acts, and they will be criminal acts in the future.
Right, but
her misconception, and this is what you're getting at, I'm sure, is this perception that transgender women really aren't women, or that people are waiting to pounce to cross the border into Maryland when this becomes law. Men are preparing to dress up as women to use that as a ruse to get into the bathrooms and to get into locker rooms to commit mayhem, and that has not happened anywhere. So
that's actually not what I was trying to get at. What I was trying to get at was she seems to be also raising a sense of unease that apparently she's going to have, and she thinks some other women are going to have if Senate Bill 212. How do you address that?
Well, that's a matter of education. We've been dealing with this issue in Montgomery County, in the school system, and on the county level, and now throughout the state, as I said, for a decade. This is a matter of education. People in America have gotten to know the gay community, so now surveys show that 80% of Americans know a gay person, and they no longer think of gay people purely as sexual beings. The trans community hasn't gotten to that point yet. We're only 8% of the LGBT community. We're a much smaller number, 0.3% of the total population. So most Americans don't know us. We're only beginning to get mainstream media attention, as happened recently with Janet Mock on CNN. So people really don't understand, and what they don't understand can often engender fears. And then some of those folks, they may be very conservative religious fundamentalists, get together and they just fuel the fire and they fan the flames, and suddenly everybody's all worked up that this is going to be a problem and make me uncomfortable. Once they understand that there has been no such problem, not in Maryland and not anywhere else, then those fears will fade away. This is education overcoming ignorance.
That's Dana Beyer, Executive Director of Gender Rights Maryland, here on Maryland Morning, WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about a bill that would ban discrimination on the basis of gender identity. Someone else who testified at the committee, before the committee, Bob Borger, pastor at Annapolis Evangelical Presbyterian Church. His church provided shelter to 24 homeless people during extreme cold this winter.
During the nighttime, and we had volunteers that stayed there all night long, the guests were separated by gender so as to provide for good order and prevent problems. If 212 were enacted, a transgender guest who decided that they were not willing to stay in their assigned biological space because they identified with the other gender, what recourse would our church have to restrict that request?
Dana Beyer, how would churches and other nonprofits that shelter the homeless be affected by Senate Bill 212?
Well, churches are exempted. There's an exemption in the bill that exempts religious institutions on the basis of gender identity, just as it does currently on the basis of sexual orientation. For as far as nonprofits or governmental entities, no, you have to respect somebody's gender identity, the way they present themselves. The misconception that is at the root of this is this sort of, today I feel like I'm a woman, and so I'm going to go in and use the women's facilities. That's not the reality. So he really has nothing to fear, and I would hope, as a religious institution, as a church, he'd be open-minded and welcoming to everybody who needs help on a cold winter night.
We have just a couple of minutes left, so let me ask you briefly, what is it about Senate Bill 212 as it stands now that passed the committee when so many previous versions did not?
Well, I would say there are probably two major factors. The most important one is that the world has changed. Since marriage equality passed here in Maryland in 2012 and in a few other states since the president came out in support of marriage equality. And then we defeated the referendum attempt to kill the law. Marylanders have recognized that they really are progressive and open-minded, compassionate, and affirming. And so there's been this effort now to move forward on other civil rights issues. It's made this easier. This is the last major LGBT piece of legislation, too, on the agenda. So it's sort of completing the circle, so to speak. The other aspect of this is it's an election year. And election years focus the minds of legislators, and there are other little twists and turns that their minds go through, and they start thinking about this differently. This is the first time we not only got the 6 votes we needed in the Judicial Proceedings Committee, we got 8. We got all the Democrats. So it was a unified Democratic caucus.
I need to interrupt you to ask this. The bill is expected to come up for a vote by the full Senate today or tomorrow. The House version of this bill has a hearing scheduled in Health and Government Operations Committee on March 5th. What do you expect?
No, I expect passage. We have 25 co-sponsors in the Senate. That's one more than what we need. There are others who have said that they will support the bill. We have support from all of the senior leadership, the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, Senate president, Speaker of the House, and gubernatorial candidate Heather Mazier. So has got a great deal of momentum.
We have to leave it there. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Dana Beyer is Executive Director of Gender Rights Maryland. She's also running in the Democratic primary to represent District 18 in Montgomery County in the state Senate. She's challenging Richard Madalino, chief sponsor of this bill. We have a link to the bill on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us on Maryland Morning, 88.1.